Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, America. Welcome to a Just Cause Coast to Coast. We bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. I'm Sam Thurman. Another episode of a Just Cause Coast to Coast. Cliff Ethel, how you guys doing this evening?
Doing great, thank you.
All right. Hey, this evening we got several things we're going to be covering. And if you've been following the program, you know that we're going to start a series on talking about focusing on the entire story of the IRP6 and IRP solutions. So tonight we will be dedicating a good portion of the program to talking about IRP solutions, the business, and Silk, the dream, Silk being the case investigative lifecycle software. And then we're also going to talk about Gary Walker, who is the CEO of IRP Solutions, the dreamer. And we're going to have as a special guest Yolanda Walker, Gary's wife. And then we have other segments that we're going to cover before we get into that. So, Ethel, anyone who's been following the program and when they follow IRP Solutions story, the IRP 6,
right,
they know that we have the situation with the 200 pages of missing transcript.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we want people to call Attorney General Eric Holder's office at area code 202-514-2003 and 2005 and ask him to investigate or inquire, do something, look into what's taking place with this over 200 pages of missing transcript. These guys got to get a fair appeals decision, and they can't get it without that. And we also want you to reach out to your local radio and television stations and ask them, why are they not hearing about the IRP 6 case? We got six men sitting in a federal prison here, over 200 pages of the transcripts missing, and you can't hear about it? Something's wrong with that.
Absolutely. And then we also have a petition out there on change.org. So go out to change.org and sign the petition. Do a search on IRP6. And that petition also pertains to what Ethel was talking about as far as the 200 pages of missing transcript. We'd also ask that you would like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. You can go to our website, a-justcause.com, a-justcause.com. And you can click on the bottom. You can go to the Twitter link or the Facebook link. Also, we have what we are now referring to as the AJC Radio Network. And so you can get a Just Cause Coast to Coast in many different ways. We have on conservativenationmedia.com, Contending for Truth. We have ajcradio.com. And then we also will be, we just started on artistfirst.com. That's artistfirst.com. And we're also on live365.com. So we have a lot of places that folks can find us. And I guess the best way for them to find us is on ajcradio.com.
Yeah.
So, Cliff, let's do some shout-outs.
Yeah, I want to do a shout-out to Duke Brooks with Conservative Nation Media. Duke and his cohorts are the ones that allow us to have our Tuesday night shout spot. So we want to make sure, Duke, that you understand and know that we appreciate you guys. Also, Scott Osborne with Underground Hard Drive, he's the one that gives us this space for the Thursday night shout spot. So I wanted to give a shout out to Scott and let him know that we appreciate him and all the people who are working with him.
Thank you, Cliff.
Yeah, Sam, you're real cute, Sam.
Okay, let's get back on track here. Folks, Cliff had a little bit of dental work today. And so
they're mistreating me in the studio. That's what's
going
on.
Well, but we love you, though. So.
We're glad you're here. That's the good part. Okay, before we go too much further, let's do this disclaimer. Cliff, Ethel, and I are not attorneys, and a Just Cause Coast to Coast does not provide legal advice. Please contact your personal legal advisor for your legal needs. Also, the opinions expressed by the callers or guests do not necessarily reflect that of a Just Cause or a Just Cause Coast to Coast. And as always, we want to say thank you for tuning in and choosing to spend a little time with us this evening. And before we get too far, we want you to always remember our brothers, Gary Walker, David Banks, Dave Zappolo, Clint Stewart, Demetrius Harper and Kendrick Barnes, the IRP6.
Yes.
So let's jump to the news. Ethel, what do you have?
You know, I came across this article talking about Detroit man who suffered wrongful conviction dies while family waits 46 minutes for an ambulance. You know, I guess what got me on that one was that this man's already been in prison for 16 years suffering, you know, at the hands of a wrongful conviction, okay? And he was tried and then tried again. And then he's been out for a while, and then he gets ill from having been in prison. You know, whatever this illness was that took place with him occurred while he was in prison. And so when he has this attack on the lawn at his daughter's home, he's in Detroit. And you remember when we went to Detroit and it kind of looked like a ghost town.
Oh, it was a very depressing place.
I mean, in the middle of the day, there was absolutely not one car.
Nobody.
Going down. It was like...
It looked like that movie that Will Smith is in, you know, where it's like nobody is out.
Nobody, you know. So I can understand. And so it took the ambulance, what they say, 46 minutes to get to this man.
With no traffic.
No traffic. Nothing. You know, that is a horrible situation. But, you know, the fact that this man spent all this time in prison, and it says that the public defender failed to investigate mount a proper defense for this man. They didn't call any witnesses who had been able to testify on his behalf in saying that, you know, he entered this building and killed somebody. They said years later, an attorney discovered the prosecution withheld evidence that someone else had confessed to the crime that kept this man behind bars for 16 years of his life.
That I mean, you know, and you get tired of hearing this kind of thing.
You really do.
And you know, on the program the other night when we had the Petros on, Jim and Nancy,
mm-hmm.
You know, the former Attorney General of Ohio.
Right.
And, you know, and when they talk about the myths that can convict innocent people.
Exactly.
And then, you know, we got into a little bit of discussion on you know, the things that go on that you know result in folks staying in prison unnecessarily.
Yeah.
And we talked a little bit about the, you know, the DNA testing and that type of stuff where, you know, it takes forever to get a DNA test, and
right.
and then cliff rate the issue that once they do get the DNA test done,
mm-hmm.
then it's like it seems like it takes forever to get them out.
That's
even though the
right.
DNA test without a shadow of a doubt shows that the person you know, is innocent, of all charges. So,
exactly.
You know, where did that article come from, Ethel? That was the Huffington Post.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so folks can go out there and check the Huffington Post for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the next one is justice reforms bring costs down in 17 states.
Wow.
Now, this one comes from CivilSourceOnline.com. Again, CivilSourceOnline.com, and it was from January 27th, so it was just a couple of days ago. And this one is saying that there's new research out from the Urban Institute that shows that 17 states have been able to bring justice system-related costs down through reforms.
Mm.
Now, these reforms were part of the Justice Reinvestment Initiative,
mm-hmm.
and through this program, sponsored by the U.S. Department of Justice, Bureau of Justice Assistance, and in partnership with the Pew Charitable Trust,
mm-hmm.
states receive federal dollars to assess and revamp and monitor the performance of their criminal justice systems. Now, these states are testing a range of strategies designed to yield better safety returns, better public safety returns on their correction spending. Total projected savings across all 17 states amount to as much as $4.6
billion.
Wow. $4.6 billion.
That's a lot.
And then, I'm going to pick out one of the states. Like I said, there are 17 states.
Mm-hmm.
South Carolina, as an example, the correction spending rose 500% over the past 25 years, and its prison population tripled.
Wow.
Now, this increased housing of nonviolent offenders,
mm-hmm.
a growing number of returning parolees and probationers, and declining use of parole drove this growth over those 25 years. Now, the state responded with reforms such as strengthening supervision and enhancing parole release decision-making. Since implementing these reforms, the state has saved more than $7 million and prevented the return of 1,000 parolees or probationers to prison.
Wow.
So, you know, these are the kind of things that they need to you know, we need to read more about and hear more about, you know, especially when it comes to, you know, nonviolent first-time offenders and all this stuff about, you know, prison overcrowding. There's no reason for this to be occurring.
That's right. And South Carolina is showing that it works when you make the reform and actually do something, when you don't just stand up and talk and say, you know, that these people are in prison for no good law enforcement reason there, Attorney General Eric Holder, but actually do something. Implement the reforms you're talking about, and let's get it done. This is a case study that shows that it works.
It can be done.
Yeah.
Okay, so this evening we're going to be talking about the IRP solution story, the IRP 6, Gary Walker, the dreamer, the business, Silk, the dream. And so, you know, Ethel, you pulled this one piece, and it talks about the American dream. And, and oftentimes when we talk about the IRP story, we talk about, you know, an American dream turned nightmare.
That's right.
So, you know, when you look at this and what when it talks about the American dream, what are we talking about?
You know, when I pulled this, I was thinking last night about the American dream, and I went on was Googling, what is the American dream? How did, you know, the American dream come about, all this stuff? And I went to Wikipedia, and it is saying that the Statue of Liberty was there with the first view for immigrants that were coming here of the United States, signifying new opportunities in life. You know, the statue is an iconic symbol of the American dream. And it says the American dream is a national ethos of the United States, a set of ideals in which freedom includes the opportunity for prosperity and success and an upward social mobility achieved through hard work. And I read that, and I started thinking about the IRP 6. Is that not what these guys were doing?
That's absolutely what they were doing.
I mean, you can achieve the American dream in the United States, but that's all you can do. You achieve it, but you don't get to keep it.
Well, and, you know, and then, you know, we've heard the term, you know, what color is the American dream?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's like, and what level of dreaming can you do?
And who is the American dream there for?
Exactly.
Is it for a specific set of people, a group of people, or what? You know, that's the stuff that really gets to me. It says the opportunity to make individual choices without prior restrictions that limit people according to their class, their caste, religion, race, and ethnicity.
And, you know, and IRP, you know, just to give a quick background on it, and we're going to hear a couple of clips, but, you know, just to kind of give our audience a little preview, you know, the IRP solution started in 2003. But that was after many years of Gary Walker working on a software for law enforcement. And so, you know, and then in 2003, the company expanded because of the fact that the market expanded. Gary had spent a lot of years working on a solution that was basically for a small agency, a sheriff's department, and it was, for all practical purposes, a standalone solution, something that, you know, you take a disk, pop it into your computer, and law enforcement investigators would do their investigations and be able to manage investigations right there at their desk. Now, as the market changed and people started saying, well, we want something bigger than just something that can be used on my desktop,
right.
I want to be able to put it on the network so that several other, you know, investigators here can, in my agency, can, you know, share information and so forth. Then it grew beyond that, especially after 9/11 occurred.
Yeah.
And folks realized that major law enforcement agencies at all levels, state, local, federal, that they had no way of sharing information or collaborating with each other.
Exactly.
And so that way, you know, then they ended up having to, you know, get a means by which through web-enabled is what they called it. And so, you know, I mean, Gary put a lot of time into this thing.
Oh, my gosh, yes, absolutely.
And so, you know, one of the things, so we'll be diving into that this evening.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are going to take a quick break. We come back. We're going to talk a little bit about Gary Walker.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk a little bit about IRP Solutions, the business. And, folks, you're going to learn some things probably that you didn't know. Because, like we said before, we're going to dissect the entire story from front to end. And tonight, we're going to just focus on how it all started. We're going to talk to Yolanda Walker, Gary's wife, and get a little behind the scenes on, you know, family life and that type of thing. So don't go anywhere. Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. We'll be right back.
I'm your neighbor. I sit next to you at church.
And my child was arrested, held in custody,
questioned without my knowledge,
exposed to violence,
witnessed to rape, placed in solitary confinement,
unable to call or see me,
shackled to a wall,
beaten,
sentenced as an adult at age 16.
We
felt lost,
isolated,
ostracized.
Misjudged,
terrified,
and in the absence of all hope, my child took his own life.
And then I found the Alliance for Youth Justice.
They gave me the support and resources to get through one of the most difficult times in my life.
Now I know I'm not alone.
And neither are you.
Now we have a voice. Now we have power.
In numbers.
In numbers.
In numbers.
We can make a difference.
There are approximately 2 million children in the juvenile and criminal justice system in this country.
These are the faces of those families.
If you are the family member of a child who has been in the justice system, or if you are someone who supports this movement and is ready to make a difference, visit the Campaign for Youth Justice at www.campaignforyouthjustice.org.
There's no way to hide it. If you drive drunk, we will find you. Cops everywhere are stepping up enforcement and cracking down like never before.
Sir, have you been drinking tonight?
Sir, have you been drinking this evening?
Sir, have you been drinking tonight?
Make no mistake. You will get caught, and you will be arrested. Over the limit, under arrest.
I'm Sam Thurman with Cliff Stewart and Ethel Lopez of A Just Cause Coast to Coast.
Join us here each week as we bring you compelling stories about the U.S. judicial system. We explore cases of wrongful convictions and our efforts to right the wrongs, like the IRP 6 case.
And you don't want to miss our featured segment called Exoneree Moment, where exonerees share their stories. That's A Just Cause Coast to Coast.
Sam Thurman,
Cliff Stewart,
and Ethel Lopez.
Education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. Check AJCRadio.com for program schedules. This is A Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. I'm Sam Thurman, Cliff Stewart, and Ethel Lopez. Our dial-in number is 347-205-9620. 347-205-9620. This evening, we're going to be talking about how IRP Solutions Corporation got started, the mindset of the dreamer, and the man behind the Silk software, Gary Walker. Silk software being the case investigative lifecycle software. And we're going to talk a little bit also just, you know, about things in general. We're going to have Gary's wife on, Yolanda Walker. She's going to be joining us here in a moment. And so, Ethel, you had another article that you found regarding, I guess it was a speech by President Obama a few years back.
Right. This was in January 29th of 2008. I guess it's when he went in office. And he was talking about, you know, the reclaiming the American dream is the title of this speech. And he talks about, you know, his grandmother and everything, how his grandfather worked hard and everything for his mom to have what she had and all this stuff. And the thing that stood out to me was he was talking about the American dream. It's a dream that we can find a job with wages that support a family. He says that we can retire with dignity and security, and that we can provide our children with education and opportunity. And I'm like, okay, we can provide them with opportunity, but when they get out there and they start working toward those dreams and those opportunities, why is it that our own government are taking away that dream and that opportunity? So that's the thing that I don't understand. We all, if you work hard, you go out there, you can achieve the American dream. You can achieve it, but you wait, and while you're trying to do something with it, you got somebody else out there trying to pull it out from under you.
And, you know, that's what's disheartening about the IRP solution story, because of the fact that you have a group of men and women who started a company and took an idea, took it to market, but they were not afforded the same opportunities or the same leeway, if you will, that other companies are afforded. I mean, how can you take a corporate debt collection case, criminalize it, and now we have six men sitting in prison, have been sitting there for 18 months?
Absolutely.
And that's the thing, you know, Ethel, the point that the president made, it's like, yeah, the American dream is out there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's available, there's opportunity, but the problem is the way that the system is set up, it allows and doesn't hold accountable for corruption.
Yeah.
And so when you have that in place, that's where the issue is that, okay, you have the opportunity there, you have a group of people, small business entrepreneurs, whatever you want to call them, they go after the dream, but then when the big company wants to come after them, they can pay lobbyists to basically shut you down.
That is
the issue. That's why there should be accountability in the entire system. I mean, when you have the judicial system, I mean, if you have a prosecutor or a judge that can be paid off, and then when they get caught, they don't do any jail time, it's like, why not? Why not be corrupt? I can triple my salary by ensuring certain people go to jail so these big companies keep their dream alive.
So your American dream becomes your American nightmare.
There you go. And, you know, this week, President Obama just had a State of the Union address this week, and there was a little segment in his speech again where he said that, you know, we need to support the entrepreneurs and the small businesses in America, and we need to, you know, support the and bring back the means by which, you know, to provide innovation and research and funding for research and make it easy for people to take things to market and not have to spend so much money getting patents and all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of that sounds great in a speech, and you want to see it come to fruition.
Right.
But when you see, you know, in living color, so to speak, what really happens in certain cases like the IRP6, it kind of makes you wonder, you know, well, a speech like that, who is it directed at?
Exactly.
And who gets the benefit from it?
Yeah.
You know, ironically, you know, in the president's speech, he was he called out, you know, used the smartphone as an example.
Mm-hmm.
He used Google as an example. Okay, that's great. And, yeah, we got some great things as a result of that.
Right.
But, you know, you got the small business, the truly small business,
that's
like
right.
IRP Solutions. And you know, it just makes you question, you know, how can a small businessman get ahead? And like Cliff was saying, when it seems like somebody is waiting to chop them off at the knees.
Exactly.
We're getting ready to jump to the IRP solution story, and we're going to play a quick little clip from a marketing video that was produced when IRP first got started in 2003. And so it's a clip from the grand opening, and then we're going to bring Mrs. Walker in.
IRP Solutions Corporation. The company, the people, the solution. IRP Solutions Corporation, making it happen. IRP Solutions Corporation is a software development company headquartered in Colorado Springs, providing enterprise management software solutions for law enforcement and investigations professionals nationwide. IRP has completed research and development efforts resulted in the revolutionary investigative software, which is called Case Investigative Lifecycle, commonly referred to as SILC. IRP has a well-rounded team of professionals who have helped pull this project together. Software developers have, on average, over 20 years of software development experience, and subject matter experts have, on average, over 30 years of experience with various backgrounds in law enforcement, criminal justice, investigations, and criminal justice training. Agency experience covers DOD, CIA, FBI, Secret Service, state, and local law enforcement. The IRP in IRP Solutions is an acronym for Investigative Resource Planning. This is a concept whereby the investigations process is streamlined, systematized, and computerized. This concept can be applied to criminal, civil, and administrative investigations, and it is designed to allow for interagency, intra-agency, and multi-jurisdictional information sharing. IRP Solutions Corporation is recognized nationally among law enforcement agencies as a leader in the development of software used for investigations. IRP Solutions Corporation has been featured on several nationally recognized websites. IRP is also featured as a spotlight corporation in the October 2003 issue of the nationally acclaimed Law Enforcement Technology Magazine. IRP Solutions Corporation, providing a software solution for law enforcement professionals, offering enhancements for the investigative process, investigations management, information sharing, and investigations training. SILC Software by IRP Solutions Corporation, a truly revolutionary approach to law enforcement investigations. IRP Solutions Corporation is very excited about the future of this company. IRP Solutions Corporation has developed an outstanding product. The company operates from a great facility, and the people have the drive and determination to make it happen. IRP Solutions Corporation, a leader in law enforcement software technology.
That was a clip from the grand opening of IRP Solutions. And, you know, Cliff, that brings back memories of a business that was moving quickly. And when you think about a company that starts as IRP Solutions in 2003, and then toward the end of the year, you're already getting calls from folks like the Department of Homeland Security. And at the end of that clip, you heard David Banks and Gary Walker talking about what they were doing for law enforcement. And Gary was saying, you know, he wanted to make it easier for law enforcement so they could work smarter, not harder. And so that type of thing, when you listen to this, IRP had it going on. I mean, and it really makes you upset when you have a case that came out of this thing and people tried to paint a picture that IRP was a scam and that the IRP 6 really didn't know what was going on and they didn't have the goods and didn't have the expertise. So let's bring Yolanda Walker in on this conversation. Yolanda, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me.
So were you listening to that clip that was just playing?
Yes, I was.
I'm sure it brings back memories of the day when IRP had the grand opening, and there were folks all over the place. You had business leaders from the community. You had law enforcement professionals from all over the state. You had attorneys. You had judges. What comes to mind when you hear that clip, Yolanda?
It just brings back a rush of memories of how excited and enthused the guys were, how happy Gary was that he was finally seeing his dream becoming real. You know, he had finally got to the point where he had worked all this time, and the guys had worked so hard. It was just a very, very exciting day that day. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Yeah, and you know, I know that, as we were stating just a few minutes ago, Gary spent a lot of time developing this software. And you know, you were right there, and you saw a lot of the behind-the-scenes activities. And so, you know, I want to ask you, when, you know, if you can recall, did Gary realize that what he had developed as far as the software, Silk, when did he realize that what he had developed could potentially have an industry-changing, life-changing impact?
Well, when he first began the project, he had started off working with it was on a lot smaller scale, just going to mainly be for, like, I think a sheriff's department or something here in the Springs. And then the more he kept talking to other law enforcement people, he realized that it had so many arms to it that he needed to branch it out, you know, go further with it to the large agencies, and he wanted to get it to the point where he could tailor it for the large or small agencies to use it. And so he realized pretty soon that there was a great need, and so he was trying to fulfill that need.
Yeah, and you know, and like you said, as far as bringing on other folks to ensure that he was able to expand upon it, that's one of those things. I mean, like you heard us talking about before we brought you on, just talking about the American dream and how, you know, a small business owner should have the opportunities to you know, to grow his business.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Right. And I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah, and Yolanda, a question: Do either you or Gary feel that the American dream is actually a reality for all people if you work hard enough, or maybe just a select few people?
No, I used to believe that, but after this situation, I believe it's more for a select few. The select few to me is really, if you're white, you're right. It's not for the African American, even though there's a few of us that have broken through the barriers. I saw my husband work for years very hard on this project. He did everything by the book. He obeyed the law. He never broke the law. And his end reward, what he got for all this work and all this time that he spent for it, they rewarded him with prison.
That's really heartbreaking.
And you know, we look at the mindset of an entrepreneur, and you know, folks say, well, why would a person continue to just keep going? And you know, I think that Gary epitomizes the image of an entrepreneur. I mean, one of the things that I found is that, you know, it talks about the mindset of a person as far as an entrepreneur. What makes an entrepreneur is education, skill, and the determination and the drive. And so, you know, Gary had all of that. You know, if we take a look at a little bit of the background, look at Gary's bio, Gary, he had a presidential appointment to the Air Force Academy, and then he ended up leaving the Air Force Academy because he wouldn't have been able to fly, which is something he wanted to do, but he still pursued his education and got a Bachelor of Science degree from the University of Colorado. And he worked for many technology companies.
Yeah.
And so this dispels the that argument, if you will, from the prosecution when they say that, you know, these guys did not have experience and so forth. I mean, Gary, he worked for a company out of college called Infotech Development. He also worked for a company that was called Command Sciences, which got bought out by ITT Federal Systems. Gary wrote software that helped to monitor the health and status of telemetry from satellites. He also worked for Lockheed Martin, as well as Verizon Communications. So Gary has a wealth of background, and I know that in setting up IRP solutions and developing the case investigative lifecycle software, there had to be sacrifices. And so, you know, as far as family-related sacrifices, Yolanda, if you could share with us, you know, some of the things that how your family was impacted, how you and Gary were impacted by the fact that he had a dream and he was doing everything within his power to pursue that dream.
Yes, and I was always, we sacrificed a lot of family time. He sacrificed a lot of time with his son that he would like to have spent with him. He had a full-time job, and he had to work on this project in the evenings and on the weekends. And so I'm there to support him in whatever he does. I mean, I wasn't complaining to the point where, like, you know, you had to stop doing this. I would always support him in what he wanted to do. And so I know at one time I used to refer to his computer as his mistress on his lap all the time because that's how much time he spent with it. But I knew he had a dream, and I wanted him to see that dream. He believed in this. He was looking forward to having something to, you know, that would better this country, help law enforcement do their job better. And especially after 9/11, when he saw what had happened there, that pushed him even further, made him drive even harder, thinking, I've got to get this finished. I've got to do something so nothing like this will ever happen again. That weighed on him a lot.
And you know, Yolanda, and as most folks who've been following the story, they know that Cliff and I, we worked at IRP Solutions. Mm-hmm. And so when you bring up that point about 9/11, it always bring back memories on one of our initial sales trips to New York, and we were going to visit with NYPD. And we were in the hotel there across the street from Ground Zero, and looking out the window and looking down at that hole in the ground, And Gary, you know, making the comment about basically what you just said, you know, seeing that hole in the ground is why Gary was doing what he was doing. Seeing that hole in the ground is why IRP Solutions was doing what it was doing. Another part of that story that I don't really share a lot of, because it will give you chills. Not only did you see this hole that was literally a city block. We were on our way back from 1PP, which is what they call the police headquarters in New York. It's 1 Police Plaza. We were walking from 1 Police Plaza, and we were coming across this courtyard, kind of a park, and we were headed back over to the hotel. It's probably about, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 block walk. And one of the police officers, one of the detectives that was walking with us, he said that when 9/11 occurred, that and they knew that the towers had been hit. And so a lot of people were running from the police headquarters over to Ground Zero. And he said when they hit that spot at this plaza, at this park, and they saw a jet engine of an aircraft sitting in the street. Now, mind you, this is 4 blocks away, and you see a jet engine in the street. Now, I tell you, that will give you chills. You're 4 blocks away from this building. And they said they saw a jet engine in the street, and they said, we got problems. And then when you have somebody like Gary who says, I'm doing what I'm doing to prevent that from happening again, and people criminalize that?
Yes.
That is what is extremely saddening about this whole situation, because you have the fact that not only did he take the time to you know, develop the software, bring it to what it needed to be. He sacrificed time with his family. You know, all of these things, when you look at his resume, his life story, his bio, the places that he's worked, and then you have the federal government, you know, it always just makes me very angry when you think about them saying they didn't have the qualifications. You know, that we were in the building and we weren't technically qualified to do this work. I mean, we're going to get into Gary's bio a little later in the show, but when they say that, it's like, so because we're young black men, we have to be stupid. We have to be drug dealers. We have to be gun runners. We have to be something that's less than the other technical companies. And, you know, during the time that IRP was going to DHS and having all these demos, DHS told these other big companies, hey, you guys got to go talk to IRP Solutions. They've got what we're looking for. You're going to have to partner them. And on that note, Yolanda, you know, there's a trailer out on YouTube that you guys had done before. And in that, you're talking about the business side of IRP. And after IRP Solutions had gained, you know, reputation with these big companies, they start getting calls, you know, regarding partners. And sometimes our critics and the naysayers, they say, well, why didn't IRP team with a large company? Why didn't IRP do this or that? What would you say to those critics about the so-called opportunities to team with these larger companies and, you know, what Gary's mindset of why he did not.
Yeah, Gary never had a problem with wanting to team with the larger companies. He welcomed that. The problem was that these people did not want to sign non-disclosure agreements. They wanted us just to, him to just lay out the software, the code, all this stuff. And, I mean, do they he's been in the business long enough to know you don't do something that stupid, where they can steal your software and run away with it and say that they developed it after all this work that he and these guys put in. That wouldn't make any sense. Anybody in business knows that wouldn't make any sense, or anybody that deals with software. You don't expose, leave that open so people can take it and do what they want to do with it. It doesn't make any sense. That would be stupid to do that.
And you know, Yolanda, also along that note and on that point, you know, Cliff, what drove all that traffic, as you said, you know, there were a lot of demos that were going on at NYPD, Department of Homeland Security, at DOJ. I mean, there were all kinds of demos that were going on, and there were initiatives that were in Washington, D.C. There was one called the Consolidated Enforcement Initiative, Consolidated Enforcement Environment Initiative. And then there was also the Federal Information Case Management System. And so, you know, the federal government put on these things called Industry Day. Mm-hmm. And so all these major companies, they saw IRP's capabilities, or they saw what the government needed.
Right.
And then, like you said, Cliff, the government basically was telling these companies, if you want to get in on this, IRP Solutions is the company that has it. And when IRP saw the, you know, what the government was saying they needed, IRP saw it as, hey, that looks like they're talking about us. So sure enough, yeah, that drove the phones to ringing from, you know, the SAICs of the world, the Deloitte's of the world,
IBM.
The IBM's of the world. And so, like you said, Yolanda, it's one of those things where you know you have what everyone is looking for. And yeah. Then when you have been told by people within the Department of Homeland Security, you better watch your back because someone will steal your software, then what are you going to do? Hey, Yolanda, hold on 1 second. We got a caller here, Cliff.
Okay.
Hi, LaWanna, are you with us?
Yes, hi. How are you this evening?
Hi, doing good, doing good. You got a comment?
Yes, I did. You know what I think is sick? As I was listening to this show, you have six men locked up to prevent them for being the one that helps this country. These men are locked up because we refuse to let a black company of young men, a small company, because the large companies cannot come up with this solution, but we resent the fact that you came up with it.
Mm-hmm.
And they made the decision that we're not going to let a small black company get money for something that is this important and that would be helpful to the entire United States, let alone the world. So we're going to just be sure that. So meanwhile, the country stays under all the threats and the horrible disasters that have occurred in the United States and abroad. They're going to, but we hate so bad that you will be the one to do this, that we are going to silence you and put you behind bars so nobody knows about it. And we don't care how many more people get destroyed or attacked or how many terrorists get in this country, but we are so set on you're not going to be the one to do it. How sick is this country?
Very
sick. How sick is this government? This is over the top sick.
And that just goes to show, LaWanna, the corruption. I mean, when you can't even get anybody to speak on it, anybody to make a move on it, that just shows you how deep the corruption is. And it goes just from one level to the next.
Yes. I mean, and you're so corrupt and you're so set on what you want to do that you put the lives of the United States, all these millions and millions of people in jeopardy and all across the world. This is sick. The love of money, the hate, and the not caring about hating a man for the color of his skin and the fact that you have enough sense to come up with something that would help the world, and we don't, if we can't do it, we're not going to let you do it. These people are sick. Only God can stop this.
That's absolutely true, Luana. And, you know, one of the things, too, it's about greed.
Yes.
And, I mean, when we come back from this break, Yolanda, we're going to come back to you, but we're also going to, let's talk a little bit about how much money was on the table
mm-hmm.
when we're talking about this. So, you know, Luana makes a lot of excellent points, and it boils down to greed. It boils down to allowing the black man to have an opportunity. Like we were saying, as far as the, you know, what color is the American dream and the American dream turning nightmare. You know, we're going to hit a lot of this when we come back. A Just Cause Coast to Coast, education, awareness, information about judicial injustice. We'll be right back.
Sergeant Michelle Garcia served meritoriously in Iraq and has the medals to prove it. Soon after leaving the Navy, Lieutenant Chris Scott found a job, a home, and started a family of his own. Corpsman Richard Stokely took the skills he learned in Vietnam and put them to good use as a paramedic. But soon after leaving the military, each of these veterans fell on hard times and faced homelessness. Even after Michelle lost all her savings, even after Chris wasn't able to pay his mortgage, and even after Richard battled alcoholism for years, they each reached out for help when they needed it most. A simple phone call put them in touch with a trained professional from the Department of Veterans Affairs. That call got Michelle a place to stay until she could afford one of her own.
Put Chris in touch with employment assistance
and found Richard a substance abuse program. These veterans are success stories not only for
only
how
for
they
were able to help others while serving their country, but for how they were able to let others help them.
If you
are a veteran in need, make the call.
Good morning, students, and welcome to Career Day. I hope you're excited to hear about all the great things you can do when you grow up.
Hi, everyone. I'm Emily. I'm super excited to introduce my dad because he's my hero. When I was little, my dad was away a lot, but I was okay with that because he was doing this really important work, driving ambulances in Iraq. Now he's at home, which is great for me because I get to see him every day now. And he's still the biggest hero I know because he tells all the ambulances and the fire engines where to go and rescue people when there's an emergency. I'm so proud of him. He's awesome. He's my dad.
If your service-connected disability prevents you from continuing in your civilian career, Voc Rehab offers counseling, training with a living allowance, education, and other services to help prepare you for your next mission.
Freedom of speech means
being yourself.
Expression without fear.
Speaking your truth.
Speaking my thought without being judged.
Means laughing whenever you want.
Changing people's lives.
Thoughts without depression.
Sharing the gospel.
Protecting humanity. Saying something that will change the world.
A Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. We're talking about IRP solutions this evening, and as we have kind of prepped you for it over the last couple of weeks, we're going to start from the beginning of the IRP solutions story, and we're going to take you all the way through. And, you know, basically, we're going to dispel a lot of the lies that are out there where folks are, as IRP solutions and the IRP 6, we're going through the criminal trial. And you can go to www.freetheirp6.org. Again, freetheirp6.org. And you can read up a lot on a lot of the information about the IRP Solutions story. You can follow along with us. But we owe it to our brothers to put this whole story out there so folks will know that we are talking about professional men. We're talking about ethical men. We're talking about family men, businessmen, Christian men who started a business. And their efforts were criminalized and you know, they were dealt evil for their good. But it's gonna all turn around. So the IRP 6 are Gary Walker, David Banks, Dave Zerpolo, Clint Stewart, Demetrius Harper, and Kendrick Barnes. Also joining us this evening on the phones is Yolanda Walker, and Yolanda is the wife of Gary Walker. Again, welcome to the program, Yolanda.
Thank you.
And you wanted to, during the break, you said you wanted to make another comment about the teaming with the large corporations. Go ahead with that.
Yeah, my husband used to tell me all the time about how these, especially the large software companies, were always trying to steal code and software and things from other companies. They even approached him at certain companies where he worked and asked him if he would go in and do that, which he did not do because he's a man of integrity. He would never do that. But that's why I was thinking, why would you think these companies, all these large software companies that we were supposed to be teaming with, already knew the chance of how people would come in and try to steal software, because they're some of the same culprits that do the same thing. And I remember the guys, before they had went to trial, they had spoken to someone in this that had was involved with Enslaw, the guy that had created software for them. Mm-hmm. And he had shared with them the fact that he went ahead and gave the government his code because he thought he could trust the government.
Wow.
And Eric, that's one thing you would never do. You never give anybody your code, and let alone, why would you trust this government? They have a proven track record that they can't be trusted.
And it's and you know, Cliff, in the industry, when you talk about stealing software and so forth, it's funny how they put a nice pleasant name associated with it. And you know, whenever you hear the term reverse engineer,
right,
what comes to mind for you, Cliff?
Reverse engineer, you stole my stuff.
Absolutely. but they can use that term and say, you know, well, we're going to reverse engineer this. No, we are set out to steal what you have. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to put our label on it and call it ours. Mm-hmm. So, Cliff, when we talk about, you know, IRP Solutions getting all this attention from the larger agents or larger corporations, before the break, we were talking about all the money that was on the table.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that entail?
Well, when you look at the, you know, basically the competition for IRP Solutions, and you got companies like SAIC, they're one of the largest, Department of Defense contractors, and they were contracted with the FBI to make the virtual case file. Now, those who know a little bit of history about this, the virtual case file is the one that is where former FBI Director Mueller had to stand before Congress and basically try to explain, where did $425 million of taxpayer money go? Now, when you look at about $500 million spent on developing software for one agency, the FBI, he stood before Congress and he didn't even have an answer. You know, in this roundabout way, he says, yeah, we ended up squandering the money. SAIC got $500 million. We have absolutely nothing to show for it. And then he makes it, well, you know, we're going to have something in a year. First off, how do you know that when you've been trying all this time since 9/11 to get it, and then the company that you contracted with, they have nothing. But then they just kept refunding them. The SAIC, none of their executives got indicted. None of them were under investigation. None of them went to prison. And they got money from the government, squandered $500 million taxpayer dollars. Then you have the FBI basically says, okay, well, we're going to get another company to do it. We'll have Lockheed Martin go out, and they'll build it, and they'll rename it the Sentinel Project. Well, the Sentinel Project, they got funded for close to or over $800 million.
Yep.
So, and then now the FBI doesn't have – the Sentinel Project is a piece of crap. When you read the real report about the Sentinel Project, they say that, and this is the Inspector General is basically saying that when he did his investigation, he found that if they implemented some of the functionality in the Sentinel Project, which they're trying to say what they're using it for, that it would open up the country for basically intelligence leaks. So in layman's terms, you say, well, what does that really mean? What that really means is it doesn't work, and if we use it, we are letting our information out there to whoever wants it. So if the terrorists want to see what the FBI is doing, there it is. All the information is out there if they try to use the Sentinel Project. So they can't use it. But you're talking about over $1 billion squandered on two projects, and then the man who has the answer is sitting in federal prison. Now, you say, well, how do you know he has the answer? How do you know that, what the Silk software is not just another piece of software? Well, when you have these companies, you have SAIC, you have Lockheed Martin, when they went into DHS, they basically go in there with a PowerPoint presentation. They're flipping through slides. This is what we can do. This is what we can do. We're going to make the software do this. We're going to make the software do that. If you give us funding, this is what we can build. And that was the difference with IRP Solutions, and that is why IRP got so much attention from DHS, and that is why DHS told these other companies, you need to team with IRP because they have, keyword, they have what we're looking for. Because when Gary and David and all the other guys, when they went in to do the demos, the demo was, here is the software. Yep. We're not coming in there with a slideshow with, what we could do if you give us $500 million. No, here's the software. This is what it does, and we can customize it to do what you want it to do. And that is why Department of Homeland Security and New York Police Department continually called IRP back. Like, we need this customization. Can you accommodate that to put this federal face on it? Absolutely. Give us a month. And then they come back. They're like, okay, that is why DHS said, give us a quote. Let us know how much it would cost to get this particular module.
Confidential informant module.
How much would it cost? Because you guys move fast enough that we see that you're what we need, and that's why the other companies were sent. But IRP never got any funding from the government. But these other companies that got funding, they're off the hook. IRP goes into debt with staffing companies trying to build a product that the federal government needs, and these men are sitting in jail. And that is what really, really perturbs me on this whole thing, is that you let these other companies squander over $1 billion, and IRP Solutions has the product, but you won't even give us a fair chance to go after the market.
And you know what, Cliff, and people were amazed at the fact of, and like you said, if someone made a request to IRP and said, hey, can you do this? Can you modify it this way? Can you do that? And IRP went away and did it in quick fashion. That doesn't happen in the technology industry. And we have another clip here we're going to play real quick where Gary kind of gives just a high level of, IRP's approach to doing software development. Next, the story of IRP Solutions Corporation. Imagine starting a company and developing software for law enforcement agencies at all levels of government, federal, state, and local. As a matter of conducting business, and trying to meet the increasing request for modifications of the software by government agencies, the company incurred debt. This debt was tied to IRP's engagement with staff augmentation companies. The FBI launched an investigation against IRP at the urging of one of IRP's debtors. The accusation was that IRP was a front organization solely set up to bilk staffing companies. What was a civil litigation debt collection case turned into a case that would implicate a church, a pastor, a congregation, and shock an entire community.
Now, let's talk a little bit about IRP Solutions. Gary, what is IRP all about?
Well, the letters IRP stand for Investigative Resource Planning, and the company is about providing software solutions for law enforcement. The solutions really do focus in on investigative case management and support of other investigative and enforcement operations. This software really is revolutionary for law enforcement organizations and agencies. Our key differentiator from other software for law enforcement is the fact that we focus in on the processes of each individual law enforcement agency. So our software is adaptive. We can bring in an agency it will adapt to their processes and workflows rather than the agency having to adjust their work habits to the software.
IRP Solutions Corporation spent several years developing an innovative software solution that would revolutionize how law enforcement investigations would be conducted. IRP had several major customers in federal and local law enforcement who saw IRP software as the answer to their need to enhance abilities to collaborate during investigations. In late 2004, IRP was positioned to participate in major procurement activities with the Department of Homeland Security. In February 2005, IRP was raided by the FBI for alleged fraudulent activities, and then in June 2009, executives of IRP were indicted for alleged wrongdoing.
Oh, yeah, when you listen to that, it is very heart-wrenching. Because we that know the story, Sam and I work there. We know who these guys are. We know their technical expertise and how IRP had what no other company had. And every accusation is frivolous because this is a debt collection case. But it's really, you know, when you hear Gary's voice and you hear David's voice and, you know, talking about the software, talking about the product and what we did there at IRP Solutions, it brings this chill over you because you say, how can the government take this group of men and first off say that they don't know what they're doing. They don't have the technical expertise. They don't have a product. When they've been called several times back and forth to Department of Homeland Security and, you know, making the customizations that the government was looking for. It's really, really atrocious and really bothersome to deal with this.
And I know when we come back from this break, Cliff, I know you want to just kind of give a little bit more information on Gary's bio. And, you
right.
know, one thing that stood out to me in that clip that just played was when Gary said, you know, they focused on the key differentiators, and that made a difference in how IRP Solutions developed software. I mean, many times people ask, hey, are you guys, you know, in law enforcement?
Right.
You know, were you active duty as far as investigators? It was because they took the time to sit down with people to figure out, how do you do your business? And then they rolled that into a software. We're going to come back and talk more with Yolanda Walker and talk about the IRP Solutions Corporation, the IRP 6, a Just Cause Coast to Coast education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice.
These are the voices that prisoners in solitary confinement hear every day. Out of Arizona's total of 2,076 prisoners held in solitary, 30% are taking prescription medication to deal with mental illnesses, and 11% have diagnosed schizophrenia. Experts report that the extreme and prolonged isolation exacerbates pre-existing conditions and appears to even cause mental illness in prisoners who were not previously ill. While prisoners deserve punishment, Arizona can do better. We need to change the solitary confinement rules. Unlike any other states, Arizona prisoners are held in 8x10 cells for at least 23 hours a day, with no windows and virtually no human interaction. Perhaps the best way to fix solitary confinement so it strikes a balance between punishment and humanity is to decrease the size of solitary units. Colorado, Texas, Mississippi, and Illinois have decreased the size of their units, only admitting prisoners who need the rehabilitating experience, and have saved over $6 million without compromising prison safety. A study produced in Colorado reported that after decreasing the number of solitary units, prisoners experienced an improvement in overall mental health of the confined inmate population. How can we do this? We need to reach out to Director of Corrections Charles L. Ryan, asking him to decrease the number of solitary units. Solitary confinement needs to remain a place for punishment and behavior change, but it can also be a place of innovation and rebuilding.
I wanted to be in the military since I was a kid.
I served in the United States Air Force.
I served a total of 16 years.
I was deployed 13 times.
On my second deployment, 4 bombs hit my vehicle.
And at 19 years old, that's the first time I ever saw somebody die.
Coming back, I was raging.
I started having pretty horrible nightmares.
I would wake up in the middle of the night, sweats.
I started drinking a lot.
I felt worthless.
I guess I never recognized it in myself.
Eventually, one day, I just walked into the VA hospital and said I'd like to see somebody.
Don't suffer alone. You got to find that link with somebody that'll make you let it go.
It all starts with going to the VA. There's a whole community of veterans that just want to help you out.
It's for the guys who couldn't come back, so you owe it to them to live well, because they're not here with their families.
Just Talk Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. I'm Sam Thurman with Cliff Stewart and Ethel Lopez. And we're talking about the IRP solution story, the business, the software, the dream, the dreamer. We also have joining us this evening, Yolanda Walker, the wife of Gary Walker. If you'd like to call in, if you have a question or comments, our number is 347-205-9620. 347-205-9620. Cliff.
Yeah, I wanted to go over Gary Walker's bio. We asked him, you know, write down some key points, you know, the places you've worked, things like that. And Gary, you know, he's funny because he kind of like, oh, okay, I'll write it down. But, I mean, this is the genius behind the IRP solution Silk software. And Gary says, I grew up as a military brat living in Arkansas, Nebraska, Texas, the Philippines, and Colorado. My first computer-related job came when I began working as a student aide and programmer in the computer center at the University of Colorado at Colorado Springs while working toward my bachelor's in computer science. I got my first programming job outside of college at a local company, Infotech Development, in 1988. Infotech was a computer-based training company and had won a contract with the Air Force to train its satellite operators. In time, I was assigned to a NASA contract writing space shuttle simulation software to help train the space shuttle astronauts. Wow. That right there
is a mouthful.
Like, who is this guy? But it goes on. After Infotech, I got a job with Kamen Sciences, now ITT, writing software to monitor health and status telemetry from satellites. So basically, he wrote software to track satellites where they are.
To be sure they're staying in orbit.
To make sure they're staying in space and to make sure they're on the proper track that they need to be on. How many of you, if there's any of our listeners out there who can begin to understand how to write that software, we ask that you give us a call and just give us a short explanation of that.
We want that one in particular who interviewed with us on Monday to tell us now how stupid these men are.
Yeah, exactly. Then it goes on. My next job was with Martin Marietta, now Lockheed Martin, as a programmer of software simulations for President Reagan's Strategic Defense Initiative, or the Star Wars Anti-Ballistic Missile Program. I became head of external interface software development and worked with organizations such as Jet Propulsion Lab, Sandia National Labs, Los Alamos National Labs, and the Huntsville Weapons Center.
Now, folks can go out there online and look up all these places, and they will see that, you know, this is
right.
Big
this
stuff,
is,
man.
This is serious.
Serious.
I mean, we're tracking satellites here. Mm. And putting satellites in space and tracking missiles to make sure that they don't get to in American airspace. I mean, this man is serious. It says, I was also responsible for producing unclassified versions of the simulation software to be used for demos. While conducting demos, I met with British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, French Minister of Defense Pierre Jose, and many U.S. Army and Air Force generals. I moved on to become a contractor at MCI, now Verizon, working on various telecommunications projects, included a video conferencing system, a telecoms network monitoring application, and a sea-based telecommunication systems. I also worked as a consultant at FedEx as an architect on their new package tracking system, for Hallmark as the architect and technical lead for the first online cards, albums, and snapbooks project.
Now listen to that. First.
Yeah, the first.
First.
I remember when Gary did that at Hallmark, and he was explaining to me what an online shopping cart was, and I'm like, really?
He was on the cutting edge.
I mean, his entire career. Always.
And so it stands to reason. I mean, so when you look at where he was with IRP Solutions and the Silk Software, Gary was on the cutting edge.
That's right. He was always on the cutting edge.
He was leading the way. Go ahead.
He always went after what was new and what was going to bring the most results from a technical standpoint. Then he said he worked for Xcel Energy as an enterprise architect. After IRP ceased full-time operations, I worked as an employee for Corticon as a business rules engine professional services consultant and for Kaiser Permanente as a senior director. And then this part just, snatched my heart when I read it.
Yep.
I worked as a janitor and manual laborer while wrongfully locked up in federal prison by the U.S. government here in the land of the free.
Land of the free in quotation marks.
Exactly. This is who Gary Walker is. And for them to say that, you know, technically, how could he come up with this? They don't have the expertise. He was always on the cutting edge of technology. He always architected systems that did things that previous systems before them didn't even, I mean, the concept wasn't even there.
That's who he was.
That's why we say he is a genius.
A visionary.
Yeah, he sees what needs to be done, and technically he does it.
Definitely.
And how dare they say he did not have the technical expertise, and the people that he found to help him produce this software did not have the technical expertise to do it.
That's right. Our phone number, 347-205-9620, 347-205-9620. Let's go back to Yolanda. Yolanda, in that trailer that Cliff made reference to earlier, we've talked a little bit, just briefly touched on the fact that in 2005 when IRP was raided, and, you know, there were a lot of things that occurred after the company was raided, a lot of corrupt, we always say that we were naive to the system until we started seeing it firsthand. And so, you know, you made reference to this experience as not being about justice and that they pick and choose who gets justice. You know, how has this whole experience impacted your view of the U.S. judicial process? And, you know, and then, you know, when you look at and you know that IRP was a legitimate business developing viable software, and we're going to just hammer that to death so people will realize that. But anyway, how do you feel about the judicial system?
I don't believe in the justice system at all anymore. I used to believe that, you know, you go to court, if you have to end up in court and you have your evidence and all that stuff, that it would work out as long as you told the truth. But I don't think I will ever have any faith in it until it's been reformed and the people that are corrupt in it are held accountable for their actions. And it just, after what has been done to us, I just can't say anything good about it right now. And I don't think I will until I see some change in it. And when I was thinking about this country and what they call justice, they don't even know what the definition of justice is. They need to, this judicial system needs to go to their dictionary and pull up that definition and see exactly what it means, because they're falling far, far short from what the true definition of justice is.
And, you know, Yolanda, I have to, and as you talk about that, and then, you know, after Cliff shared Gary's bio, you know, I have to go back and, or I guess I'll say I'll jump forward just a little bit to the trial. And, you know, when the guys are before the jury and they're sharing they're giving their opening statements, and Assistant U.S. Attorney Matthew Kirsch, he, you know, interrupts and cuts them off and says to Judge Arguello that, you know, their character is not on trial. You know, no one's questioning that's not part of this case and so forth. Excuse me, you're accusing me of being a crook.
Exactly.
Yes.
What is that? I mean,
exactly.
Is that not you know, an attack on your character and you're not afforded the opportunity to defend your character? I mean,
right.
You know, what do you think about that?
I think he was really stupid because, I mean, a lot of stuff that he said and what he did, it didn't make sense. And if you're not attacking their character, you're standing up here calling them liars and crooks in your opening statement, and they ripped off these staffing companies. But when they get up to tell about their experience and all this stuff and the kind of people they are and they go to church and all that, he wanted that just shut up so the jurors would not have a chance to hear that. It doesn't make sense. It shows me he doesn't have much sense at all.
Yolanda Walker is joining us this evening on A Just Cause Coast to Coast as we talk about Gary Walker, the CEO of IRP Solutions Corporation. He is also one of the IRP 6. We're talking about IRP Solutions, the business, case investigative lifecycle software, the dream, and Gary being the dreamer. Our phone number this evening, 347-205-9620, 347-205-9620. When we come back, we're going to have a few more a little bit more conversation with Yolanda. This is A Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice.
Federal government targeted, prosecutor convicted, 6 executives in, held back evidence.
Come on,
hundreds of pages, submit to manuscripts, court circuit, 10th district denying the writ of mandamus. Free the RP6, critical rights violations, scandalous, their motivation to finish their business with major companies, the government, New York PD, DHS, potential customers.
Come on,
faith potential, obtain funding from banks and angel investors with no success. Like calm, melt down, finance, skeptics, so they hire a staffing company to fill the gap with every attention to fulfill the contract, pay the deal when money come back. Everybody paid the bills, the wages, take care of all of that. No Friday, they got viable software, but you prepare them to those with nothing to offer. Prosecuted by the attorney's office before the FBI gotta start investigating charges, skipping steps in the process, even barring the testimony of Andrew Alvarez, a witness who could tell why any staffing company that could do a dumb rat street credit check would stick out their neck. If there was no prospect they could collect when they're reeling the net, it all relates to Harvey Silver's late statements about the vagueness of federal law, judicial chaos, A_justcause. Free the RP6.org, 347-205-9620, just blog. It's just us, but we don't gotta just talk. We can just march through the courts for the cause with one voice. It's just free them all.
Come on.
Today, innocent Americans are standing trial for crimes they didn't commit. Today, innocent Americans are writing for help from a prison cell. Today, hundreds of Americans have been exonerated of crimes they didn't commit. Researchers believe that at least 40,000 innocent Americans still sit behind bars. For them, the answers do not come easy. A Just Cause seeks true balance and accountability in the judicial process, ensuring that innocent men and women are not convicted and sentenced to prison for trivial, obscure acts that are otherwise not seen as crimes. For more information on how A Just Cause may help you or how you can get involved to stop Oprah's criminalization of innocent Americans, visit www.a-justcause.com or call 855-529-4252. That's 855-529-4252.
Hey, Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you educational awareness and information about judicial injustice. I'm Sam Thurman with Cliff Stewart, Ethel Lopez. Our number this evening, 347-205-9620. 347-205-9620. I want to thank Dallas Burgess for the IRP 6 theme song. We haven't heard it in a little while, so they played it for us tonight. And so, again, you know, a lot of folks reaching out and helping keep the IRP 6 story alive. And keep it in the forefront of the minds of people so that we can ensure that we help our brothers get exonerated.
Yeah.
And then also bring awareness to the fact that injustice is in the land.
Yeah.
Joining us this evening is Yolanda Walker, the wife of Gary Walker, CEO of IRP Solutions Corporation and also one of the IRP 6. Yolanda, got a two-part question for you. You know, if the situation of starting IRP Solutions and, you know, Gary having an opportunity to develop a world-class software came up again, you know, with the exception, of course, of all the false accusations and the business being raided and all the stuff that came as a after that, do you think Gary would do it again? And then part two of that is, you know, given what you know today, would you want Gary to do it? And then, you know, why or why not?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt, Gary would definitely do it again because it was something he believed in, something that would help this country. It was his dream. So he I believe because his dream and it was a dream he had, he would definitely want to do it again without all the stuff that got involved in it. And I would want him to do it too because no matter what sacrifices we made or anything like that, it would have been worth it to see how it would have helped this country, and not to ever see a 9/11 situation again because that was devastating to all of us. And when I look back on it, I think it's just like one of the callers said, that it just seems so sick that this country would lock up these guys that have the solution where this would never have to happen again on American soil. But there's those people up there are not about the American people. They're about themselves and all that kind of stuff. They don't really feel or want to do what we think is best for the country. They're not looking out for the country. It's their own personal interests they have involved.
That's so true, Yolanda. And when you look at it, I read, you know, about all these big companies, all these different companies that are paying out millions and millions of dollars, you know, rather than them being sent to prison for the different things that they are doing, you know, all of this different stuff. But, you know, it occurred to me that justice comes. It's whoever has the highest, who can pay the most money. That's who gets justice.
Yes,
and the little one down there, you can forget it. You know, it's the big, it's who's too small to win and who's too big to fail.
They bail out the big business and they put the small businessman in jail for doing the exact same thing that the big business people do.
And it's the little businesses, like I said before, it's the little businesses that are creating the jobs in this country. The little businesses. You know, the big ones are up there. They've got what they want. They know they're going to keep on making money, and they are doing anything and everything they want, whether it's, you know, they have, like Cliff was saying, they have these lobbyists in Congress who are out there who are going to battle for them, and they're going to stay on top. They don't give a stink about the little people down here or the little businesses down here. They could care less. They step on them and keep on going.
And, you know,
all about money is not purpose-driven anymore. It's about money.
And Yolanda, I've heard, you know, in talking with you before and hearing you talk about this situation, and you've made comments about Michelle Obama in reference to some comments she made. I think it was during the second inauguration ceremony. And there were some things that she is quoted as stating in the media that just did not sit right with you. What was that?
Yeah, I was sitting at home that day, and my husband was in prison, of course, and she was standing up there with tears in her eyes talking about the American dream and how if you work hard and do what's right, it'll all work out. It'll come to you. I mean, you'll get, you know, you can realize that dream. And I sat there on the couch, and I just started crying and crying. I thought, it's not true. My husband did all that. These guys did all that. And look what happened to them. So how, I mean, you can sit up there and say that in your position, but these people need to get in touch with what's going on in the real world, because I never would have believed that this kind of thing would have happened, because I used to sit and watch them talk and think, yeah, that's true. That's true. And when I sat and they started playing the national anthem or anything about that, it started making me sick to my stomach. I would just break down in tears and cry and think, none of it's true. I've been thinking all my life that this is true, and now the reality is when you do something and if somebody else wants it, the big people, the big businesses want it or the government wants it, they take it from you and put you in prison where you will never be able to see the light of day again if there wasn't people like Just Cause and other people fighting to help get these guys out. It's just unreal, all the things that go on with that. It's the American dream, I don't believe in it, period, anymore.
So given that, you know, how do you stay inspired? How do you stay motivated and, you know, and keep going on a day-to-day basis?
I have to go back to my faith in God and the way I was raised, the way my mother raised me. My faith helps keep me going, helps me to stay inspired, and helped me to get up out of the bed every morning and say I can face this day. If I didn't have that, I couldn't make it. I couldn't deal with the situation. Because I look at people all the time when I'm watching TV and watching the other families that are in the prison coming up there, and I'm thinking, how do you handle this if you don't have a strong faith, a belief system, people around you to help support you? And my mother's example has been something that has helped me to know that I can stand strong through anything. I've watched her over the years and she raised us that way, that no matter how hard it gets and something bad comes in your life, you don't just lay down and say and don't fight. You don't lay down and just give up. I have to stand up. I have to be strong. I have to keep going so that I can, I mean, just press forward and be an example to my son and to help anybody else that I know that's in this situation. I can tell them how I got through it, because it's all because of God, because there's no way I could have done it on my own.
Absolutely. And another question to you, Yolanda. Once your husband, Gary, is home along with the other IRP6, and this case is all over, these guys have been exonerated, do you see yourself staying engaged in helping others who've been wrongly targeted or convicted or wrongly incarcerated? Or?
Oh, yes, definitely. I had spoken to one of the ladies in prison, and I had told her, I said, I will spend the rest of my life helping other people to do this. And she said to me, well, the rest of your life is a long time. I said, it couldn't be long enough after I've seen this injustice and the stories that I've heard and the things that I've seen in this system. I would never stop fighting I will help anybody that's in this kind of situation. I will never stop fighting. Once you go through something, you actually can feel what other people are feeling. When you watch it sometime before this happened to us, it's like, oh, I feel sorry for them and all this. But until you walk the road yourself, then you can actually say, no, I am in this for the rest of my life to fight until I die. I will never stop fighting and never stop helping people and trying to right wrong.
Exactly. And you know, Yolanda, you were saying that with your faith and holding on and staying inspired, that, you know, that you want to, you know, you have to, part of that is being an example to your son, to Kyle. And so, you know, how has this situation affected, you know, how's your relationship with him changed as a result of Gary being away?
Well, we are very close. My son and I, we've always been close. The whole family's been close. But I think we've actually grown a lot closer. Kyle has been He's always been there for me to help me. He's checking on me all the time. I remember he told me one time, his dad told him, be sure to look out for your mother while I'm not there. And so he gets up in the middle of the night. I just found this out not too long ago, comes to see if I'm resting well. But he has just been there to – he just – it's just a bond that I can't even explain. It's extremely close bond. And usually mothers and sons, you know, they're not as close as mothers and daughters, but I can't say that about us because it has really brought us extremely close.
And, you know, that's one of the things that when you talk about that, and you know, we've talked about how families are impacted in general by someone being incarcerated. And so, you know – it doesn't matter whether or not, you know, there is a someone is legitimately in prison, or in the case of the IRP 6, where it is a wrongful conviction, wrongful incarceration, wrongful everything about it is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people don't think about how this thing impacts families and how they, you know, like in the in your case, Yolanda, I mean, you know, Gary has been gone for 18 months.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So there are a lot of things that, you know, life is not as it was for the previous 20-plus years, and there's this disruption that's in your life. And so when we come back, let's talk a little bit more about that. This is a Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. Our number this evening is 347-205-9620, 347-205-9620. When we come back, we're going to get more into the conversations with Yolanda Walker, the wife of Gary Walker, CEO of IRP Solutions Corporation.
We know you care. Now it's time. Time to change the face of justice.
Did you know that minority and youth participation in juries is extremely low to non-existent?
The incidence of youth and minority offenders faced with trials have exploded.
Youth and minorities are not being represented as they should be.
We must represent for people to get fair trials.
If you acquire a state ID or driver's license, it allows you to register to vote.
And it allows you to become eligible for jury service.
If you're 18, a U.S. citizen with a state ID or driver's license, and registered to vote,
you're eligible to be called for jury duty.
If called and selected, make it your duty to serve.
We can't give justice without you. Change.
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 Change the face of justice.
Check your local county or state jury service website for further details.
Michael Adams?
Here.
Michael Adams?
Here.
Michael Adams.
Here!
Michael Adams.
Students who miss 18 days of school in any grade risk falling behind and not graduating. Absences add up. Keep track at boostattendance.org today.
When does it stop being partly cloudy and start being partly sunny? Why is the word abbreviation so long? Are English muffins just muffins in England? Why is it called a washing line and not a drying line? Do fish get thirsty? If ghosts can walk through doors, why don't they fall through floors? Do you yawn when you sleep? If prunes are dried plums, how do they make prune juice? Why do doctors leave the room when you change? They're going to see you naked anyway. Do bald chefs wear hairnets? How much deeper would the ocean be if all the sponges were taken out? Do you believe someone who says they're a chronic liar? Why is sandwich bread square and sandwich meat round? Life's full of hard questions. Ask one more. You might just save a life.
a Chicago woman who has been in prison for 7 years for the strangulation of a 4-year-old son. Nicole Harris was 23 when she was found guilty by a Cook County jury of murdering her son, Jaquari Dancy. Prosecutors had argued that Harris became angry because her son would not stop crying. Last October, a federal appeals court reversed Nicole's conviction, ruling that Jaquari's older brother, Dante, who was 5 at the time, should have been permitted to testify. In May 2005, Jaquari was found with an elastic bedsheet cord around his neck. His older brother, Dante, had told authorities that Jaquari had wrapped the cord around his own neck while playing Spider-Man. However, the trial judge did not allow Dante to testify. Prosecutors have argued that he had given conflicting reports. The only evidence supporting Nicole's guilt was a confession followed by a 27-hour interrogation. The average police interrogation is about 2 hours. Harris said that the interrogation was coerced and that the death of her son was accidental. The interrogation tactics of Cook County, Illinois have been raised in numerous reverse convictions. A Just Cause organization salutes Nicole Harris. Her attorney, Allison Flom of the Northwestern University Law Center on Wrongful Convictions, and also the law firm of Jenner and Block.
A Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you educational awareness and information about judicial injustice. Cliff Stewart, Ethel Lopez, joining me, Sam Thurman. And this evening we're talking about the IRP Solutions story, IRP Solutions Corporation, the IRP 6, Gary Walker. Joining us is Yolanda Walker, Gary's wife. Our phone number, if you'd like to call in the last part of the program, is 347-205-9620, 347-205-9620. Yolanda, before the break, you were talking about how the bond between you and your son Kyle, and how you, the things that he does to help you, and how he watches out for you and so forth. And you know, I know there has to be challenges associated with Gary having been gone for 18 months now. And we're hoping, obviously, that situation is going to turn around real soon. Mm-hmm. But how, you know, what's the biggest challenge? What's been the biggest challenge for you as far as, you know, managing the household? You know, I'm sure there were certain things that Gary did, certain things that you did, but, you know, you having to do it.
Yeah, it's Gary and I had a partnership. We shared in doing just about everything together. I mean, I handled mainly the interior of the home. He took care of the outside, you know, washing the cars, the yard, that sort of thing. That kind of stuff has really been kind of difficult at times, having him not here with me to do those things, because it just added an extra burden. But Kyle has really stepped up to the plate and helped with a whole lot of that, and also my brothers and some of his uncles, which has been a great help. It's just been difficult in a lot of different ways. When I think about my son, because Kyle has seizures, it was having seizures from time to time when his father was home. But since Gary's been incarcerated, it has gotten a lot worse. He would have them more frequently. And that would bother me the most is that Gary was not here, because Kyle's at the age, he's 21 now, that if he falls or if he hurts himself, I'm not strong enough to move him. So when I'm sitting there and he's had one of these seizures and I'm sitting there with him, I'm sitting on the floor just trying to make him as comfortable as possible until he comes out of it. And all of a sudden my mind goes back to, my husband's not here. He would be here to help me. That has been really, really difficult when I had to deal with that by myself. And then when I think back on our anniversaries, he missed Kyle's 21st birthday. It's a bunch of milestones that you miss, that your husband is not here for. He missed his son's 21st birthday, which is a major life-changing event in a young man's life. We missed our 25th wedding anniversary, which was really, really a bad time, because I remember him telling someone in the prison that was one of the darkest days of his life, was that he wasn't even able to call me because they were on lockdown in the prison. And when you think about this kind of stuff, and it's like he's sitting in prison for something he didn't do, and you're missing all these times, it just tears you up inside. And I thought all the time, that even to the fact that when we were going through the trial, on my 50th birthday, another milestone, I'm sitting in court watching my husband and his friends fight for their lives, trying to prove their innocence against all these accusations that weren't even true. It's just been very, very difficult to have to deal with those sort of things.
And, you know, that's tough to listen to. And you know, I think about some of what you were saying as far as missing your wedding anniversary and Gary missing Kyle's 21st birthday. And I know, you know, share with the listening audience some of the things that Kyle and Gary would do together as father and son. You know, missing the 21st birthday, that's a milestone. But then just those father-son times that have been impacted.
Yeah, that has been really hard. When I look at Kyle, for a while, I know him and his dad used to always go and play golf together. They loved to play golf together all the time. And I remember the time that they had taken a trip. They had won some tickets to the U.S. Open, and they had went out there and they just had such a great bonding time. And I know for a while, it took Kyle a while before he would go out to play golf because he didn't want to go without his father. But Gary encouraged him to go ahead and go with his uncles and to have a good time. Just don't sit back and wait on him. And that was a major thing that they did all the time together. And I just some days I sit up, I really resent that he had to suffer without his father because of an injustice like this. It was not fair. He didn't deserve it. Gary didn't deserve it. But it was just moments like that you miss, and them at home together and just doing father son things, talking and laughing, and it was just heartbreaking to watch my son sit there without his father, and growing up all these years, this year and a half or so without him, he's missed a lot of time with his father.
And Yolanda, has Kyle expressed with you at all his feelings toward this whole situation?
He talks occasionally. Kyle doesn't talk a whole lot about his inner feelings. My mother is more able to get stuff out of him than I do. But when he's feeling, he stays more upbeat because of his teaching and how he was raised and the example that he's seen. So he just takes everything in stride. He's very hopeful and very looking forward to his dad being exonerated and stuff. That's what he mainly focuses on right now, and helping to get that done.
So, Yolanda, as you know, A Just Cause, and you're right there in the middle of it as well, we're fighting for the IRP6 and for their exoneration, and we have attorney Mark Garagos that's working with A Just Cause and working to help get the guys free. You know, and we're looking forward to that day coming up real soon.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know you and Gary have talked a little bit about it, and, you know, how do you see that day? And, you know, what do you envision on that day? I mean, I know, you know.
Don't tell them your personal business now.
This is a family program, so give us the G-rated version.
Yes, we talk about that all the time, and all you do is sit around and fantasize about how it's going to be, where I would be when I get the news, and it's just a constant thing in your mind, daydreaming all the time. Is it going to be like this? What will I be doing? But I know I'm going to enjoy just spending time with my husband that I have missed all this time, because I love spending time with my husband. I like Gary as much as I love him, because he's my friend, he's my companion, and it's just going to be just great to just spend time together. It will be one of the happiest days of my life. I can't even comprehend. I can't even put into words. I had told somebody, I said, I will probably be crying every single day when I look at come home and he's sitting there on the couch like he was watching football when I would come in, and he's eating and enjoying what I cooked, and it's just so many things that you miss, so many little things. And I told somebody, I said, I will cry if I turn over in the bed, he's there, I'm going to start crying, because it's like you just can't believe he's back home.
Yeah,
that's going to be a great day.
Awesome.
Hey, Yolanda, sit tight. We're going to take this last break, and when we come back, we're going to get some closing thoughts from you. This is a Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize the message.
I can motivate your audience.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can teach your children.
I can boost your bottom line.
I can add value to your workplace.
I could be a loyal and productive employee.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
If you don't recognize my talents and ability.
If you don't hire me.
If you don't have an open mind and a workplace that's open to everyone.
If you don't realize that America works best when everybody works.
What can you do?
What can you do?
What can you do?
You can remember that it works.
It's what people can do.
It's what people can do that
do
matters.
That matters.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.com.
RISE offers on-site and off-site programming that strengthens young people's ability to successfully navigate the juvenile justice system and empowers them to be advocates for change. RISE's Youth Justice Department provides Know Your Rights education and training, implements restorative justice practices, and offers diversion-based services that allow young people to be active participants and agents in their own liberation.
Not only does texting while driving significantly reduce your reaction time, but you are also 10% more likely to leave your lane. This commercial was 30 seconds. That's all it takes to avoid a senseless tragedy.
Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. Joining us this evening, Yolanda Walker, the wife of Gary Walker, CEO of IRP Solutions Corporation, and one of the IRP Six. The IRP Six being Gary Walker, David Banks, Dave Zerpolo, Clint Stewart, Demetrius Harper, and Kendrick Barnes, all of which wrongfully convicted and currently incarcerated in federal prison in Florence, Colorado. And Yolanda, you know, when I think about, you know, every now and then, you know, I'll say this and we'll say it, you'll hear it, you know, so near yet so far. You know, the guys are at the Florence Correctional Facility in Florence, Colorado, which is only about 45 miles away. But in essence, that's a long ways away. But you do get a chance to go visit them every week. And so, Yolanda, before you answer that question, let's go to the phones. Cliff, who do we have?
Yes, we have Lisa on the line. Are you with us?
I'm here.
Okay, you have a comment. This is who is Yolanda's sister.
Yes, and I've been listening to the show tonight, and I just wanted to say that I have always been, I've always been very close to Gary. I mean, he's my sister's husband. My brother, David Banks, is also incarcerated right now. And I'm close to him as well. But Gary and I had a different kind of bond. We always have. We've always talked to each other more so than I have with any of my other in-laws. And I received an email from him about a week ago. And he was telling me how he was still trying to recover from the fact that he wasn't able to see or speak with his wife on their 25th wedding anniversary. And it brought tears to my eyes because you think about these people that are locking innocent people up, they don't take the time to consider that the time that these people are losing when they haven't committed a crime, they never get that back. you're never going to have another 25th wedding anniversary. His son's never going to have another 21st birthday. All those things are lost to them, and they never get them back. And, I mean, something has got to be done to the people that are doing this to innocent people. I mean, if you've committed a crime then and you've done something wrong, you should be locked up. You should be in prison. But if you've never committed a crime, if you've done right and done the right things in your life, you should not be missing out on these important events and having to deal with these kind of things. You shouldn't. It's just wrong. You shouldn't have to do it. And I just, when I talk to Gary, I go see him every other week. I go see all the guys every other week. And it's just phenomenal to me that this kind of injustice would exist in a place where they call the land the free and the brave. There is nothing free about this country. This country is more oppressed than anything I've ever seen in my life. And I think it's heart-wrenching that innocent, good people would lose so much for absolutely no reason at all.
Thank you, Lisa. Thanks for the comments and for the call. So, Yolanda, when talking about going to visit the guys, you get a chance to go and visit Gary on every week, and then also on holidays and so forth. I know that has to be difficult when you go there and the leaving part. I mean, what goes through your mind each time you go through this?
You go there and you sit there and you're thoroughly enjoying your time and you keep watching the clock, and the closer it gets to that time that you have to leave, you just start, like, I'd be sitting there telling them, I said, I don't want to go home. I don't want to leave you here. And so it's like it doesn't get any better. It gets worse and worse every time you have to leave them. And it's like you see them lined up against the wall getting ready to go to the back, and we're just waving goodbye and I'm leaving, and it's a feeling that you can't explain. It's a heaviness that comes in your heart, and it's like you're stuck in this place for no reason. You didn't do anything. You don't deserve to be here. And you hear about the situations and the conditions and all this stuff, and it's like, I don't want to leave him here. It's horrible to have to leave him there every week. It doesn't get any better. It just does.
Yolanda, if we can get closing thoughts, you know, what do you want people to take away from this conversation with regard to the IRP solution situation, or just, you know, what do you want them to take away from this conversation about Gary?
Well, I want them to realize, I want people to encourage all people, all Americans, to join with organizations like Just Cause, that everybody would unite and become a force to be reckoned with to fight against this injustice. We have to get together to fight to make a change. Everybody needs to unite and become one strong force. And if we don't, our children are going to be affected by this. People need to realize, think about the future of their children. If they're doing this now and nobody's held accountable and they're getting away, prosecutors can get away with doing lying, and then they can put you in jail for lying, but they're still lying and nothing is done. Them judges are doing stuff that's against the law. If we don't come together as a people and make our voices heard and say this has to be changed, we put these people in office. We voted them in. We can take them out of office. We have got to stand up and be loud and make enough noise until the government changes. I look at all these other countries that when they start protesting in the streets, those people are removed. They are gone. Americans don't stand long enough to fight for anything. They have got to keep pursuing, and we have got to keep fighting for this. If we don't, our children won't stand a chance.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true.
Well, Yolanda, we want to say, you know, thank you for joining us this evening, and thank you for, you know, sharing a little bit of your story and a little behind the scenes of you and Gary and Kyle. And, you know, we will probably be asking you back to talk about some other aspects of the story at some point. But we really appreciate it. And as usual, listeners, you know, you can get more information about the IRP6 by going to freetheirp6.org, freetheirp6.org. If you'd like to send cards and letters or send an email, you can go to the contact page on the website and, you know, identify who you want to send a note to. The guys love to hear from folks. They love to hear of the support that they're getting, and they are getting tremendous support We ask that you keep them in your prayers, keep Yolanda and the rest of her family in your prayers as well. The IRP6 are Gary Walker, David Banks, Dave Zerpolo, Clint Stewart, Demetrius Harper, and Kendrick Barnes. Again, Yolanda, thanks for joining us this evening.
Thank you, Yolanda.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so, you know, as we talked at the top of the show, Ethel, you know, we talked about the 200 pages of missing transcript.
Yeah.
And we talked about all the things, or some of the things associated with the IRP 6 case. And we're trying to bring more awareness, more information about it. You know, we need folks to go out to change.org, sign the petition.
Yes.
Get the 200 pages of transcript released. We need you to also do what, Ethel?
We also need you to start calling Attorney General Eric Holder's office, 202-514-2003 and 2005, and ask him to investigate this over 200 pages of missing transcript for the IRP6 case.
And we have press releases that we put out on a weekly basis. And so, you know, not only can you go to the website that we talked about a moment ago, but you can go to prweb.com or you can just go to the website and look up the various press releases. There is a lot of information in there that relates to, you know, why this is wrong. There's references to other cases and there are quotes in there from professionals who are in the industry who point out why this is a wrong situation and you know, why the IRP6 should not be incarcerated. But the main thing is, you know, the points that are under appeal, you got the Fifth Amendment violation, you got the things of the expert witness not being allowed to testify, and then, of course, you got these 200 pages of transcript that's missing. I mean, this is just, it's out of control. Cliff.
And, you know, when you look at this, you see how many, not just the guys, are affected. I mean, you see the families, you see Yolanda Walker and her son, you see her sister, you see all of us as their friends and family. And it, you know, that's why we need somebody to move. And that's why we keep saying, you know, get out there, help us out, cry out, say something, tell somebody, because this needs to stop. We need to hold these people accountable and ensure that innocent people are not going to prison. We want to say thank you to our guest, Yolanda Walker, all of the callers, everybody in the chat room. We appreciate it. To our production team, K&D Productions, Captain Kyle and Dustin Jackson helping Ilskillen Girl in the control room. Also to the production support team. Couldn't get it done without you guys. You provide us with all the content that we need to put on a show. And to the truth, we know that you're out there and we appreciate you.
And also thank you to you, Cliff. I mean, man, you made it through the night.
Yeah.
You know, after oral surgery and you sat here and you made it through, man. I'm glad you were able to do that.
Well, you're time for Viking.
Also, we talked about it at the top of the show. AJC Radio Network, AJC Radio Network, where you can just get a Just Cause Coast to Coast in many different forms on Tuesday nights, Thursday nights, from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 6 to 8 p.m. Mountain Time. That's on conservativenationmedia.com, Contending the Truth. You can check out all of our schedules at AJCRadio.com, AJCRadio.com, on Live365.com. It's 24/7. You can go out there. We have a lot of our shows that are running in rotation, and you can just, you know, set your clock to it. Go out there and listen to it. You'll get a lot of insight into the IRP6 story, but we're going to do that here each week. We're going to give you bits and pieces of it. And we're going to step through each segment of the program. Coming up on next week, we're going to talk about the opportunities that IRP Solutions Corporation had. And when we say opportunities, we're going to talk about the Department of Homeland Security, the FBI, NYPD, other agencies. We're going to talk about the city of Philadelphia. We're going to talk about how, you know, this business, this company, was just moving and moving and moving, and, you know, some people didn't want that to happen.
Absolutely.
And
not.
So we're going to talk about that.
And one other thing I want to throw out there is if people will go out, those of you who tweet, go out there on Twitter and tweet the White House and ask them, why is justice for sale? Why is it at a cost? Why do you have to pay to get still justice in this country?
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. And then also, as far as getting more information about the IRP6 story, you can go out to artistfirst.com at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Is that every day, I believe? That's going to be every day, 6 p.m. Eastern time. And so you'll be able to get a little bit more information about the IRP 6 story. As usual, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Again, keep our brothers in prayer. Gary Walker, David Banks, Dave Zappolo, Clint Stewart, Demetrius Harper, and Kendrick Barnes. This is a Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. Good night, America.
Good night, y'all.